الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تعالى: قل إن ربي يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء من عباده ويقدر له وما أنفقتم من شيء فهو يخلفه وهو خير الرازقين. صدق الله العظيم. Most respected ulama, elders, brothers, mothers and sisters listening from home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our master, our cherisher, our nourisher, our provider, our sustainer. And we send the choicest of salutations, salawat and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, his wives, our mothers, those who follow him until the day of Qiyamah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammadi wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. We live in extremely challenging economic times. The cost of living is increasing throughout the world due to a number of factors: wars, commodity prices, scarce resources, exchange rate fluctuations. And in the short time that we have available today, inshallah, we will discuss some important factors in light of the Quran and the Sunnah that we can implement to grant us blessings in our wealth, in our rizq. Many people attend seminars, they engage financial advisors and specialists to find the best way to grow their wealth. And professionals are paid handsome fees to look at how people can cut costs in their businesses, look at strategies to grow their sales and their profits, look at offshore investments to protect against depreciating currencies. And this does not only apply to those who are in business. Everybody is looking to see how they can increase their income, how they can maximize their income. Every rand can go further. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, our deen is such a beautiful deen that we don't need to look very far. But within our deen, there are many simple solutions that have been provided to increase the barakah, the blessings in our rizq and our sustenance. Sometimes we spend so much of effort and time and energy in finding ways to grow and preserve our wealth, yet we have forgotten the simple prescriptions given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it comes to our rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, قُلْ إِنَّ رَبِّي, verily it is my Lord, يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ, who is responsible for spreading out, increasing a person's rizq and for restraining it. The first thing that we need to understand is what is rizq. Rizq does not refer to the money that we have in our pockets, in our bank accounts, and sometimes under our mattresses. Rizq is a whole lot more. This money is referred to as mal or wealth. Rizq encompasses many, many more things, including our health, our time, our provisions, vegetation, animals, our children. And when it comes to our wealth, it also encompasses how far our wealth will take us. This is known as a concept of barakah. Secondly, our focus should not be on increasing the quantity of rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his system is so beautiful that a person can have a little, but he is able to achieve a lot with that little, and that is known as barakah in a person's rizq. Therefore, we should look at those actions in the Quran and the Sunnah that can help us to increase the barakah in our rizq, not necessarily just an increase in the bank balance. not necessarily an increase in the bank balance. Sometimes you may find that there is no physical increase in the bank balance. But through the barakah and the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses in that rizq, a lot can be achieved. So we will discuss a few points in the light of the Quran and the ahadith that we can implement, and this is universal. It is not only applicable to large businesses or wealthy individuals, but these are simple prescriptions that every one of us can implement starting from today. And let us make the niyat that we will implement these the moment that we leave here, with the intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us an increase and a barakah in our rizq. The first thing that we have to understand is that we have to place our trust, our tawakkul solely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to our rizq. وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, that person that places his trust solely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for him. Hazrat Umar radiallahu an narrates a beautiful hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he says, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ, that if you adopt tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will be, if you adopt true tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَرُزِقْتُمْ كَمَا تُرْزَقُ الطَّيْرِ, that you will be given your rizq just like the birds in the trees are given their rizq. The bird leaves the tree in the morning, leaves its nest with an empty belly. But because of its trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it returns at night with a belly that is full. So the first lesson that we have to implement when it comes to our rizq is that our focus, our nazar, our trust must be solely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, there will be ups and downs. There will be an increase and there will be decreases throughout our lives when it comes to our rizq. Whenever that happens, our nazar must always go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second lesson that we can extract or implement is that we must prioritize the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to the seeking of our sustenance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ يَبْنَ آدَمْ, O son of Adam, free your heart for my worship and my obedience. I will fill your chest with wealth and independence. I will fill it with wealth and independence, and I will alleviate your poverty. And if you do not do that, if you will prioritize the chasing of the dunya over my obedience, what will I do? I will fill your time with occupation. Your hands will become so occupied. You will be chasing and chasing and chasing, but you will find that I will not alleviate your poverty. So we must prioritize the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to the acquisition of our rizq. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah, a very great muhaddith and a very pious personality, when he passed away, somebody saw him in his dream. And this person inquired from him that how did it fare with you? So Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah mentions that alhamdulillah, I was granted forgiveness, maghfirat, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I had a neighbor who was a businessman, he was a blacksmith. And he surpassed me in rank. So this person now wakes up from his dream and he's curious. How did an ordinary blacksmith surpass such a great muhaddith? Thousands of ahadith have been narrated by him. Such a pious personality. So he goes and he makes some inquiries. Where can I find the home of this blacksmith? And he knocks on the door and he asks the family, the wife, that can you explain to me, was there anything special about your husband? Because this is what I saw in my dream with regards to Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahimahullah. So the wife says that, look, there was nothing special, but two things stand out. Number one, when he used to hear Abdullah bin Mubarak standing on his rooftop, performing lengthy rakats of tahajjud, and understand in those days, the homes were very close together. So it was very easy to hear what was going on in the neighbor's home. Then he would feel sorrow, and he would feel disappointed, and he would comment that how I wish that I did not have to tire myself the entire day working for my risk, and I could have been free like Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was his desire. And there was a second thing that stands out, that perhaps this may have been the reason for his najat, for his salvation, that he had this habit. Whenever he was busy with his work, the moment that the adhan was called out, even as a blacksmith, if he had his hammer and he was about to strike the iron, the moment the adhan was called out, he would lower his hammer and he would immediately proceed to the masjid for his salah. So this was the lesson that this person took, that this is the reason why Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah was envious of this person, and why this person surpassed him, because of this attention that he gave to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite the fact that he was occupied in earning his risk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the same desire and ability, that we may be out there in business, and it happens to all of us. We are busy with our work, and suddenly the time of Zuhr comes in. Suddenly the azan is being given, and we are busy in a meeting. We are busy engaging with a customer. There is an important deal that is taking place. The same happens, and even more difficult, when it comes to the time of Asr, closing up his business, he's rounding up for the day. Sometimes he's traveling, he has to go back home. We must prioritize our salah. We must prioritize our obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Tanvi rahimahullah used to mention that when it comes to my murids, if somebody lags behind in optional salah, in his nawafil, tahajjud, ishraq, chast, etc., then I become sad and I will gently advise him to try and be steadfast on his nawafil salah. But when I find somebody that is not conscientious in his monetary dealings, when his monetary dealings are problematic, then I become extremely upset. So much so that one incident, there was a Khalifa of Hazrat Tanvi rahimahullah who was coming to visit him and spend time in the suhbah of his sheikh. And when he came, he brought his young child who was 12 years of age. So when he came to sit in the company in the suhbah of Hazrat Tanvi rahimahullah, this was the quality of a true Shaykh Kamil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this type of suhbah and companionship as well. That Hazrat Tanvi inquires from him, that when you came and you brought this child of yours, what fare did you pay on the train for this child? So he says, Hazrat, you have caught me out. This child is a bit small, although he's 12 years of age, I paid the underage, the child fare. I didn't pay the adult fare. And according to the rules of the train, anybody who is 12 and above, the same like it is today with the plane ticket, if you are 12 years and above, you have to pay the full fare. If you are under 12, there'll be a reduced child fare. So I paid the reduced fare for this individual. Hazrat Tanvi rahimahullah became extremely upset. And he withdrew the khilafah of this individual, because he said that if your monetary dealings on a small aspect like this are not in accordance with the Sharia, how can I trust you with this amanat of khilafat? Therefore, it is very important for us to ensure that our dealings are always correct in the pursuit of our risk. On another occasion, Hazrat Tanvi rahimahullah was returning back to Thana Bawan, and he had extra baggage with him. He had some kitabs. And as he was boarding the train, he was overweight. So the person that was there at the counter recognized who he was. And he said to him that, Hazrat, don't worry, you're overweight. I will let it go through. I will let it go through. And you can go through without paying the overweight fee. Now let us look at our own situation. Firstly, 9 times out of 10 when we travel, we are overweight. If we have 23 kilograms on the plane, we're definitely going to be at 25 or 26. Secondly, if perchance somebody happens to recognize us on the other side, and the person at the counter says, you know, I'm going to let it through, we'll get so happy. Let it through. In fact, we'll even be willing to pay something on the side. Allah Ta'ala forgive and protect us to allow that to go through. Hazrat Tanvi says that, you know what? What is going to happen at the next station? Who is going to allow this to go through at the next station? So this person says, no, you know what? Don't worry. I've got my friend on the other side. I will send a message across to him to tell him that you are going to come, and he will allow this baggage to go through. So he says, okay, no problem. What about the next station? So he says, Hazrat, there is no station after that. Your journey is ending in Tanabawan. That is going to be the final destination. So he says, no. What about the next station? Which station am I referring to? The station of the Akhirah. When I'm going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's going to ask me that that individual that allowed the baggage to go through, did he have the authority or not from the side of the train company to allow it? And if he did not allow, he did not have that authority, how is it that you accepted for your luggage to go through without paying? And he said, let me pay the overweight fee and I will be clear at my final destination, my final train station, which is going to be the station of the Akhirah. Then, respected friends and elders, the next point is that we must be fair and honest in our dealings. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a portion of the hadith, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about a commercial transaction between two people. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, فَإِن صَدَقَ وَبَيَّنَا بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا, that if both parties are truthful in that transaction, and they are also open and transparent, they do not hide any defects in that transaction, then there will be barakah in that transaction. But فَإِن كَتَمَا وَكَذَبَا, but if they withhold the information, if they do not disclose any defects in that transaction, and if they are not truthful in that transaction, muhiqat barakatu bay'ihima, the barakah, the blessings of that transaction will be totally destroyed and obliterated. Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, whom we are all aware of as a great imam of fiqh, was also a great cloth merchant. He was a businessman, a very big businessman. And on one occasion, a consignment of cloth had come in. And when he received it, he noticed that there were some defects in the cloth. So before he went to the madrasa to teach, he had somebody that would look after his business. But understand how these imams made tarbiyat of those that were under their charge. He says to this individual that, look, there's a defect here. Make sure that when you sell this cloth, you disclose the amount or the defect to the customer. And then he proceeds. When he comes back in the night, he's issued that instruction. He now inquires from his manager that what happened about that cloth that had the defect in it. So he said, you know what, Hazrat, I totally forgot about what you said to me. And I sold the entire consignment for 20,000 dirhams. In one narration, that is the amount that is mentioned. I sold it for 20,000 dirhams. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah became upset. He became extremely perturbed that now I have engaged in a transaction and I have not disclosed the defect to the individual. He gives the entire 20,000 dirhams in charity. He gives the entire 20,000 dirhams. Uthmani rahimahullah Damat Barakatuhu mentions that in the madrasa of Hazrat Tanvi rahimahullah, there was a system, and many other madrasas have this system, that the asatiza were paid for a certain number of hours during the day. And if perchance they received a guest during the teaching hours, they had to attend to a query that was not related to the madrasa, Hazrat Tanvi would require them to have a register and to mark out the amount of time that they spent outside of madrasa hours. And at the end of the month, that amount of time, the equivalent of that from their salary, would be deducted so that madrasa funds were not used to pay individuals whilst they were engaged in some personal work. Now look at the attention to detail that our akabir paid to these small aspects. How often you and I are employed by somebody, but during that time we have some personal matters to attend to. Yes, within reason, a person has something to attend to, somebody is sick at home, there's an emergency. This is acceptable. This is part of customary practice. But many times you will find that us as employees, and particularly today with the cell phone and with internet access, hours and hours are spent on social media, online shopping, whilst we are at work for personal reasons. This is an incorrect practice. Therefore, it is important for us to be extremely careful and make sure that we are honest and fair in our dealings. The next point to increase the barakah, and for those who have arrived a little bit late, we are discussing simple prescriptions from the Quran and the Sunnah to increase the barakah in our rizq. Simple things that can be adopted by everybody, universal, not only large businesses, not only wealthy individuals, even the average person, even the lay person, even the poor person that is looking to make his risk and his wealth and everything else of his go a little bit further. These are simple prescriptions that a person can implement. So the next one is that we should take care of the weak amongst us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in a hadith that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, search for me amongst the weak ones, amongst your weak ones. For you are given your risk, your sustenance, and you are assisted in your difficulties because of the weak among you. Those who do not have sufficient wealth. Those who perhaps are sick and ailing. The elderly amongst us. The poor, those who are starving, those who have different types of difficulties. Let us make sure that we make it a practice in our businesses, in our trade, in our professions as well, that we will set aside a certain amount of money for the weak ones amongst us. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Uthmani, rahimahullah, the father of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Uthmani, known as the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, he mentions that it has been my practice that whatever salary I earn, I set aside 5% to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any gifts that I get, I set aside 10% to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We read the ayat at the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ. That whatever you spend in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you, then certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will substitute you with something better than that. Therefore, let us make it a practice to increase the barakah in our rizq, to ensure that we spend something on those who are less fortunate than us. And a person doesn't have to look very far. In our own communities, in our own neighborhood, in our own families, there are so many that are in need. Sometimes we spend a lot on others. We look far and wide in different parts of the world, and that is good. We should be spending in different parts of the world. But many times in our own families, in our own homes, in our own communities, there are those that are less fortunate. As a result of their modesty and as a result of their bashfulness, they will not come forward and say anything. But we should search for them, and with dignity, let us make it a practice to spend on them. Then we should engage in excessive istighfar. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam mentions, when he advised his community, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Make excessive istighfar, because your Lord is extremely forgiving. And what will be the outcome? يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالِ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَأَنْهَارًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down rains in abundance, barakah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you in your wealth and your children. He will bless you with vegetation, with gardens, with rivers. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man lazima al-istighfar. That person that clings to istighfar, meaning that there is excessive istighfar. Ja'alallahu lahu min kulli dhiqin makhraja. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find a way out of every difficulty for him. Wa min kulli hammin faraja. And every grief and anxiety that a person is experiencing. There's a problem at home. Husband and wife have got some difficulty. The husband is experiencing grief. Children have gone off the path. Children are suffering. Children are sick. There's different problems that a person is experiencing. Man lazim al istighfar, that person that clings on to istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away that grief of his. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide risk for him from sources unknown. What a simple prescription. So easy for every one of us to carry out. Whether we are driving to the masjid, we're driving to our businesses, whether we are in our businesses, instead of us wasting our time idly chit-chatting and gossiping, or looking at haram, or listening to haram, at least we can keep our tongues moist with istighfar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Such a simple, easy thing for us to do. In a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with so much of barakah. And then finally, the next point is that we should join family ties. We should join family ties. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, "Man ahabba an yubsata lahu fi rizqihi wa yunsa'a lahu fi athadihi falyasil rahimah." That person that desires that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the doors of his rizq for him. And that person that desires a long life, one explanation of a long life is that a person will be able to achieve a lot during his life, then what should he do? فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَةً. Simple prescription, join family ties. Today we live in a world where we are so busy in the pursuit of our rizq. We are so busy in the pursuit of wealth, morning till evening. A person and a family has become so occupied. The father is out 7 to 7. Mother is out busy working as well, seeing to the children. Children have got so many commitments at school, extracurricular activities, many, many things that are happening. Even on the weekends, there are so many extracurricular activities. A person has to take his child for soccer and his child for cricket and for tuition, Saturday, Sunday, that there is no time for families to meet one another. A person isn't able to visit his parents. He isn't able to visit his family members, cousins, brothers, uncles, aunts, extended families, like it used to be in the old days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we do it with the correct niyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us barakah in our rizq. So my respected friends and elders, in summary, we discussed a few actions that a person can carry out to increase the barakah in their rizq. We should try and implement them. Firstly, our trust must always be upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our full trust and tawakkul must always be upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, when we are going out to seek our rizq, we must always prioritize the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it should never be that the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes at the expense of us seeking our rizq. Number three, we must make sure that we are honest, open and fair in all of our dealings. Number four, take care of those who are weak amongst you. Wherever they may be, ensure that we are taking care of the weak amongst us. Make excessive istighfar. This will draw the barakah and we will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with abundance. And finally, let us try and join family ties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase the barakah in our rizq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of us with halal rizq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase the barakah in our rizq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who are of the upper hand, those who give instead of those who receive. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.